One of my favorite guys in network marketing taught me this. He said, and you can apply this to anything. Apply it to your health, apply it to your spiritual life, apply it to your marriage, apply it to your business. You can apply it anywhere you want. ABC 1, 2, 3. And it comes to the back finishing piece, but it's your attitude, belief, and your commitment. Okay? You got to check in with your attitude every day. It's the one thing that we control. Charles Swindell wrote a poem and talks about your attitude. It's the one thing that we can control. 90% of what happens to us in our life is our attitude and how we respond to that 10% that happens to us, right? Life happens to us. No, it happens for us. And that's that abundant mindset. Your attitude, your belief, and your commitment, right? I'm committed. I mean, it's not just hope, want, need. I'm committed if Kelly shows up today. No, I was committed to make an impact in somebody's life. That is the ABC.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to hop on here quickly before the episode begins and share a promotion that I'm running for the rest of April and all of May that may interest those of you who like to set goals, who are working on yourself, who are entrepreneurs and want something more, better, different when it comes to your personal and professional life. And I'm offering a 2-hour coaching package for those of you who may feel a little bit stuck or you're looking for some clarity around what you actually want, what goals you want to set. So if you want some support in what is your vision, what are your values, and how do you align those two things to set goals that internally inspire you? So when you get up in the morning, you're excited, right, about getting into action towards the things that you say that you want. So if that resonates with you, this package would be a fit. And then also, possibly you're in momentum, you're creating results, and you want to go to the next level, yet you're in a little bit of confusion. You're not quite fulfilled with where you're at, and you don't know what to do or how to do it to elevate your results to the next level of whatever your desired success is in all areas of your life, right? Your physical health, your business, your relationships, your wealth, giving back, all of those things. So if that resonates with you as well, this package would be a fit. And so if this interests you, just go into the show notes and you'll see a link to my website and click on there and you'll see the promotion. It's a 2-hour coaching package and I'm offering $100 off for the rest of April and all of May. So $100 off. I would love to talk to those of you who would like that support and guide you and support you in getting your goals. And so take advantage of that. Look forward to connecting with those of you that do. And just once again, thanks so much for being here. I hope you're getting value. Thanks for listening. And let's get back and dive into this episode. Excited for you to hear what's coming up. Have a great day. Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my very special guest today, Scotty Kearns. So excited to have him on the podcast. I'm just going to share a little bit about Scotty before I bring him on. This guy is all about service. I love what he always says is that he's fired up, right, to help other people. And he has an extensive background. It's super impressive. I'm just going to list a few things, the credibility and quality of this guy. So I know he was in restaurants. We both have that in common. He was the founding partner and VP of designing and building the opening of a restaurant in the NHL arena. I'll throw that out there for all the hockey fans. He was also the core team on a number one ranked restaurant in Toronto. He crushed it in so many businesses, various businesses and direct selling companies. He was number 3 out of 5,000 global execs in one. He was the number one leader in action in Canada in another. He was the finalist for Man of the Year in Canada, which is a huge deal. He's now in real estate. He's a licensed realtor. He's the marketing and community director for Harvey Callis? Callis? How do I pronounce that, Scotty?
Harvey Callis Real Estate.
Okay, Harvey Callis Real Estate out of Toronto. Yet what I love most about Scotty is that he leads with service and he does everything with service. And I think he would echo this, that a couple of his favorite things to share is that he has coached the Special Olympics for the last 9 years. And he was baptized 7 years ago and stepped into leading a faith-driven life, which we're going to chat about as well. And so today we're going to talk about personal development, faith, building community, leading your life with service, and all these good kind of things, wherever the conversation takes us. Scotty, welcome.
KB, so grateful to be here with you this morning. God always puts the right people in our lives, and then he brings them back again. I know we hadn't connected for a while, and I know we got a chance to meet through one of our previous businesses over a decade ago now, I think. And I'll speak a little bit, I'm sure, multiple times through this, but relationships are my currency. And so I get a chance to sit here with you today. They said the word faith, that just gets me fired up. At the heart of it all, though, I am driven by helping people. At what I went to bed, I actually forgot about the podcast today, and then I got a reminder from you, and then I was instantly fired up. I was like, this is going to be the best day ever. And I think the reason is that as we step into this time together today, and whether somebody's listening to this today, or maybe it's a year from now, maybe it's first, second, or third time, I hope that if I just change one life on this podcast, or through what we discuss, that I know will be perfect in its nature, then I've done my job. I often wake up and just simply want to do one thing, and that's meet people, places, and situations better than I find. And if I can do that, then I've been successful. Yeah, thanks for having me, Kelly. You're a Cowtown girl, just like me, grew up in Calgary, Alberta. And yeah, happy to be here today. And just you're energetically, I've always been attracted to. You said about faith, personal growth is something that you and I, it's a value, a high value that we have in common. As we know, we surround ourselves with people that are invested in the same things. And that's one of the things I love about you most, Kelly, is just your energy, your willingness to help other people. And man, oh man, you're just an incredible example for what there is to do for people. So thanks for having me here. And I know that whatever's going to come out of your call, you'll come on positive impact.
I love it. We should just get on a call every morning and pump each other up. I love being around you. I love being around your energy too, Scotty. And I've always admired you and watched your journey. And you chat about that you love, like what gets you fired up is helping people. And I'm just curious, was it always like, when did that come into your life where you're like, you know what? I want to lead with this attitude of being of service to others and leaving people better than when I found them.
No, it was not always like that. I think my mom she's a great example of somebody that is always out helping people. She was a great mom, always out there helping other people. And no, I think what immediately came to mind for me, I sometimes love conversations like this, but I thought back to like grade 7 and 8, and I was relatively smart in school and pretty easy for me. And I was basically a troublemaker. Good attention, bad attention. No, I wasn't. I think about probably my first forms of leadership, which is essentially helping people. A leader's job isn't to tell people what to do. It's to create an environment for people to succeed in. I played a lot of team sports growing up. I played lacrosse. I played rugby. I was a captain of my high school rugby team in Calgary. We won high school rugby championships twice in that city. And I was the captain of the team. Some days I was probably a really good one, and some days I probably wasn't as good as I could have been. So that's when I think about, like, how was I helping people? I feel like I was always, and I don't think I was ever the best at anything I did, but I love when I was able to help other people. And I'm just going to say, again, I go back to my skiing as an individual athlete, right? And that it was an individual sport. You were basically ranked and you were judged on how you did as an individual. Now, inside that, there's a community. There's always ways to help people. But yeah, so no, I was not always like that. I think I had certain goals and things that I wanted to do. And I was a pretty high achiever in a lot of areas of my life. I had a pretty perfect childhood. I had a really perfect life, as I will say. And then I got out of grade 12 and went to university. And then I was in the real world. I wasn't living at home, and a lot of things changed. And that's when I think that adversity is necessary for growth. My adversity started, I think, when I had my first trip away from home. And my dad said to me when I grew up, he said, you can do two things, go to university. And he said, there's only two rules. Number one, you cannot go to school in the same city that you went to high school with. That was your comfort zone. So I did. I went somewhere else. I said, number two, you got to finish. So I did both of the above. It was easy to go to a different school. It wasn't as easy to finish. Yeah. And just moving forward, I got into network marketing. I guess I was in the restaurant business. There's a lot of similarities there. That's all about service. I went to university to be a doctor. I have a degree in pharmacology. I decided I didn't want to be a doctor. I became a waiter and a ski coach. So that's probably, again, where I started to elevate my level of liking helping other people bring out the game. And I started in the restaurant business, and I remember going to a recruiter. My mom said, you're going to have to get a real job. And so I thought I better get a real job. I wasn't sure what it looked like, but I'd fallen in love with the restaurant business. And I think it's because, one, I was driven to be the best. And number two, I actually got a huge, I would just get a vibe or like, it was like I was getting refueled. I don't know if you're a Tesla car or you get juiced up. Like, I got juiced up by helping people and creating the best possible personal experience that I could. I went to this recruiter. He said, your hair is too long, look like yours. And he said, you have no experience. And a year later, I was running the number one restaurant in Canada. So I was driven by being the best at helping people. From there is really where it started to take off. And as part of my background is we've shared in direct sales and network marketing. That's what that's really all about.
Yeah. It's
a promoting kind of business, but it is purely based on the number of people that you can help. And whether it's one-to-one or one-to-many. When I look at it in the context of what I do now, it's a little different. I'll get into that in the next set of questions. But at the end of the day, what I do for somebody, whether I'm helping them find a $2,000 apartment or a $5 million home, it's the exact same thing. I want to create the best positive personal experience by being of service. And I always said in the restaurant business, the best service is when somebody doesn't ask for something and you provide it. And they're like, wow, how did that happen? It's because you anticipate the needs of somebody else.
Yeah. Wow, Scotty, you just shared so many little nuggets there. That was crazy. First of all, I love your dad. Like, what a great guy to instill some of those lessons to you and for you, right? In an early age. Yeah. And as you're chatting, I think what I was hearing too is you were always of service, yet it just came naturally. And I know for myself, you and I are actually really similar. I didn't know you were from Calgary until you just shared it on this podcast. That's hilarious. And here we are now, friends. I love that you might not have had it at the forefront of your mindset. That's what you were doing, yet you were always being of service, whether it was through sports or through your career choices, how you chose to show up. And I believe that personal development and investing in ourselves is a really great awareness tool. And I know for myself, that's where I was able to put words to what that meant. Oh, I like to be of service, right? I want to be a leader. I like to make a difference. And so speak to me about that before we get into a lot of your career stuff, because I don't know about for you, but that was a benchmark for me that just solidified some things I was naturally already doing and being and how I could amplify it and use it as a catalyst for my life. And so chat about your decision to going into personal development and how that might have been a benchmark for you.
You're just in service to me. I'm hearing words like catalyst, amplified. I love that. And just even the way we speak to other people, what stood out to me there was personal development. So the next level of being a service started with personal development. You and I have a commonality, personal development company that we worked with, network marketing with personal development with Paycheck. I love that thing. But I was invited to go to something out in San Francisco. It was a 3-day class. You and I are both very familiar with it. And eventually it was described, or I described that I, as I said, it's usually imitation, best form of flattery. I'm sure I didn't get this from anyone. I also want to back up a second. My dad's an incredible guy, and he was a great example of what it meant to be of service. He didn't have a great dad, and his goal in life was to be a great dad, and he was. I'm very fortunate. One of the things I'll speak about in this call is that God brought me to a place that wasn't a very good place. My relationship with my dad wasn't great. It'd been really good up until I was 18, and then it started to go like this, and then it went back like that. And again, in entrepreneurship, we'll talk about the highs and the lows, the valleys, the peaks, and all those things. But back to personal development, this program, essentially how I described it, if somebody had a level of awareness around personal development, was that this program was an awareness and responsibility program, right? And when we start to look at our values and we start to realize, so I was in another layer of this course, and we had set a goal as to how many people we could help, which meant how many help get to this course that I had been to that had really profoundly impacted my life. And so I had set a goal. I said, I can get 22 people in 90 days. Now, I had no idea what that looked like. I didn't even know what the process was. I didn't know if the easy version would have been, okay, I'll give you $1,000 if you show up here for an hour. That wasn't it. And days into this 90-day goal setting, I had one person. And I was freaking out. I was like losing my mind because I was so used to being good at everything. And when I realized this was not a sales program, this was a program of enrollment, which was getting what I wanted, which was to help people for somebody else's reasons, right? So I had to be able to sit down with them and say, and instead of them just being a number, they had to be another human being across me where I sit and find out what their goals, their dreams, their maybe their challenges were in their life, and to essentially lead them to a place in a heart, really a heart set sort of state of emotion, then I could get them to go against what they believed to be true. And that became an incredible benchmark in my life in 2010. I had one person, my goal was 22, I had 45 days. And in the next 45 days, and we'll talk about that as a window of 90 days, one person on day 45, 33 people. 32 people in 45 days. And when I say that is that you have to remember there was a shift. I made a new commitment to do something. And I realized the only way I was going to be able to do it was to help people. So I had to get better at helping people. That was a real huge moment in my life, still is today. My partner in that course who I met in California in 2010, I'll have a call with her right after this call. We talk every Thursday. I missed her yesterday. It's been 14 years. So it's really all about relationship, Kelly, and development. That's a big piece of it. And yeah, it's a long runway. I've got a pretty deep story. And when we start to look at our purpose, I still don't even 100% know what my purpose is. But I know that God put me on this earth to do great things. He gave me great gifts. I think there's a line, pearls to swine. I've thrown my pearls to swine often in my life, yet I have this ability to be able to say, okay, talked about my baptism, okay? And it was really interesting how I got to that point in my life, right? God was not part of my life. Religion to me is a weird term anyways, because I think people have this concept of what it is. And whatever that is, that ain't Jesus. And what Jesus is to me is just simply this, love God and love other people, which means love God. So you want to be like him. He'll love you. I can be a better human being and I can help more people. That's it. It's actually that simple for me anyways. Now, simple and easy, two different things. Simple, not easy. Yeah, personal development is the thing that I love. It's definitely one of my highest values. As I said, like relationships, God is a relationship. That's my only goal this year, to have a number 10 relationship with God. That's it. And a God understanding could be something for somebody, because 10 years ago, God to me, I was like, wasn't adverse to the word. I hadn't had a negative experience of it. I just didn't know. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. So that is really something that, thanks to personal growth, thanks to loving, being of service and finding something that kind of fired me up, energized me, I was able to get to where I am today. Many years later, as I said, 56 years old, and I only have one goal in life, because I believe that anything else, really, it just doesn't have a ton of relevance to me.
Well, I want to unpack a few things you just shared, right? Like, you're bringing up faith, and I don't know if faith means something different to different people. And fair enough, how beliefs are created is by what we tell ourselves and what we choose to believe. And that was one of my questions I wanted to talk to you about, is when you just actually discussed it, is what faith means to you. And I've struggled with this myself. I remember about 5 years ago, one of both of our mentors, I was asking him, I was like, Charlie, do you believe in God? And he's like, you know what? I never used to. Yet then I realized, why would I resist it? Because there is something bigger out there. There's a source. There's something working in my favor, whether you call it source, spirit, universe. And he's like, it's just, you talk about the simple and the easier. It's just more simple to say, yeah, I do, to believe it, to believe in God. And so I've chosen into that being my faith. And it's just, I've been asking myself that question lately too. And so, what would you say to people, a couple questions, who are in confusion around faith? And you talked about it's not religion for you, it is a faith. So can you chat a little bit about that? I know that this isn't necessarily about entrepreneurship, yet I think it's an interesting topic. And I feel that having faith, and this would be my second part of the question, how has it benefited you in your business?
I wouldn't be here today without it. Yeah, I'm gonna lower this down to kind of like, we'll think about a 5-speed car. We're gonna lower this down to neutral, just really long gravel. There's only two things, right? There's fear and love, right? In this polarized version, there's faith and fear. And one of the ways I describe faith, I had faith you were gonna show up on the call here today. Okay, that's faith. I mean, that's so that's simple. Like, you have a belief in something you can't see yet. That's faith, right? There's a monster under the bed, the little kid sitting on the bed. And he's afraid there's a monster under the bed. He's got a belief in something he can't see, right? And so that is a low-level kind of version of faith or fear. It can't be any other way, right? You either have faith or you have fear. When things in our life, like my willpower ran out. I wouldn't call myself stubborn. I'd say I'm extremely tenacious. Sometimes a good thing, and sometimes not being able to let go and let God. And yeah, absolutely. God could be anything you want it. Now, for me, I think there's going to have to be a little deeper meaning. What I know for others is I'm not in charge. For me, my salvation is the greatest gift I've ever had. That doesn't have to be for everybody. That's, hey, listen, I hope somebody finds it. And sometimes people push back on me. I'm like, I don't know about that. And I'd say I'd rather be right, wrong for I'd rather be wrong for a lifetime than wrong for an eternity. And that was a word that hit me one day. I was like, what if I'm wrong? Now, I also know that until you have really, truly a runway, an investment of time, energy, money, whatever it is in something, what did you base your opinion? And then the question is, you and I love it. Does that work for you? Hey, listen, you don't have God in your life and you're an atheist and everything in your life is perfect. Well, keep going. Amazing. Good for you. That's amazing. I will. This certainly didn't work for me. It worked until it didn't work. So yeah, for me, it's been a great journey. When one of the things I'll share, I'll probably close up with some stuff, but man, on December the 1st, I often look at December the 1st is that's the warm up lap for the new year. And I sort of look at multiple points in the course of a year. Goals are so important and timelines, time bound goals. And on December the 1st, I made some choices. I was like, when was it that I had the best years of my life? And I started to look at some of those things. And one of the things I've done every day, I mean, there's some simplicity in this. Every single day for the last, whatever the math is on it, I think it's about 132 days, I've gotten out of my bed. I've gotten on my knees. I've prayed. I got up. I made my bed and I've meditated. Right? So prayer or meditation, that can look a lot of different ways. I love this version of it. Prayer is asking God for something or speaking to him about something or sharing something with him. Meditation is waiting for the answer. So it's like calling and asking for the answer. And then the phone rings and during your meditation, you pick up the phone and you listen for the answer. Often it's said that the answers are within. I just bought a series of books. I'd never even heard of them before called Conversations with God. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think this could be something that I want to read. Now, some of it I align with, some of it I don't. Maybe a long time, many years from now. The first really spiritual God-based book that I wrote was given to me in 2010. I didn't even think about it because I didn't even notice it. It had been in my room on a bookshelf beside a whole bunch of other personal development books, all kinds of different books that I love. And it's a book called By the Grace of God. I was like, oh, it must be my mom's book or it must be somebody else.
That's my mom's book.
Even it came from a garage sale accidentally. I didn't even know where it came from. And I went to a church in San Francisco and somebody gave me this book. I didn't read it. A guy named Andy Stanley, and By the Grace of God was really the first book that I read. And yeah, and it was interesting and all the things that unfold after that. I'd be on here for days talking about the length of the story. But yeah, as we start to be open, I love this line. Our mind is like a parachute. It works better when it's open. So if this, I don't know God, okay, then that's going to be where you land. But if you say, I don't know about God and I'm curious, right? So when we listen from this space of listen or act from a place of, okay, I'm open and I'm curious, often we're going to find a lot more things. Yeah, my faith, I often mean this. Thank God that I found my way to God. Yeah.
And I think that advice you just gave can go for everything, right? Like be open and be curious in general as well in life with everything. And that's where we will find our answers. And I'm reading a book right now, and I wish I remember the saying. It's called A Happy Pocket Full of Money. And it's talking about the power of our imagination. And you're talking about prayer and meditation. And really, everything comes from our imagination and that whole concept, right? If we can think it and we have the idea and we can see it, then we can achieve it. And I believe that so much to be true. Yet once again, that's a belief that I've created within myself based on doing the work, investing in myself, going to these courses, spending time like people with you. And so that would be another question I have for you is how important is it to invest in your growth and to surround yourself with like-minded people?
How important? It's fundamental. That's how important. Yeah. I'll back up for a second. I'd never read the Bible in my life, never had a Bible. I actually have one here beside my desk. It is tattered, it's torn, it's highlighted. The personal development course you and I were in, it talks about conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. Superconscious could be God, could be whatever you want it to be. The reason I bring that up is that they said imagination. In the Bible, it says where there is no vision, i.e. imagination, people perish. Individuals perish, organizations perish, families perish. Right? And so that imagination is a super important thing. Yeah, I think that it's fundamental. How important is it? Fundamental to invest. Where there's investment and where there's reinvestment, those two keys, invest and reinvest. I often love thinking about farming. The farmer has a plot of land. He's got his 100 acres. Let's just say his crop is corn. whatever it is. But every year it's going to look different. But every year he invests in seeds and he plants them and he waters them and he fertilizes them. Now, he doesn't sit around worrying about what crop's going to look like. Maybe midway through the season, he might say, we've had so much rain or no rain, and start to make assessments and start that then that's just another season, right? So planting is what I call investing. Time is an investment. Energy is an investment. Money is an investment. Well, Dr. John DeMartini talks about a values assessment where we spend our time, energy, money, what we talk about, what fills our space. And if you're not in growth, you're in decay. And that's a universal law, right? And be out of our comfort zone, right? It's funny. I'm learning two new digital things in the course of my real estate. And I'm like, I don't love like learning how to operate new digital platforms for marketing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not making me any money right now. And I'm not helping anybody right now. But if I can get my message out easier, more consistently to all of the people that I could be of service to, that's part of getting things there. Back to the farmers. Yeah, you got to just keep investing. You see a farmer's got a horse and plow, and then he's the first one that got a tractor, and then everybody followed him. It's like, well, that guy invested in cost of a horseback, and then he had $100 and a plow, say $50. And I'm sure the first tractor, right, wasn't affordable to the majority of the people. And often I hear what we invest in is what we value. And when we line up our goals, and it's really, really important. Sometimes for me, learning is fundamental. The day that any individual, including myself, says I'm not interested in learning or investing in myself anymore, welcome to the beginning of the end. That's it.
Wow. I love that. Can you share? I want to correlate this to your business success, because everything you're sharing, I agree with, and I feel is so on point and so impactful. What are 3 to 4 lessons or takeaways that you've had that from the investment in yourself and your faith that you've applied to your business, some of the patterns you've seen? Because everything that you've done with your career, Scotty, you've excelled at, right? Like you've grown and climbed to the top. And so what would you say are some of those commonalities that you can take away and just share with everybody?
No, I'm smiling because I'm effectively on my third career, and I know I'm probably going to have another one, right? my vehicle for making money. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what I'm in. My goal is to help people. And ultimately, I hope I get to glorify God in all of it. And when I say glorify him, it's to be a vital testimonial that with him in my life versus not in my life, things were better. I was also smiling. I met a guy. And you talk about the fundamentals of success and what has made me successful. This is a one word, like one little phrase. There was a guy that I met, joined another network marketing company, my second one, right? And I had gone with some lessons and some experience. Oh my gosh, wisdom, like what works, what doesn't work, and how to better apply myself. I met a guy who was 7 years old at the time. This guy blew my mind. I mean, he's blew my mind. His name was Jimmy the Butcher Smith. He's been a butcher his whole life till he was 66 years old. Dad cut meat. He cut meat. His grandfather cut meat. He didn't know how to do anything else, but he knew how to talk to people and he loved helping people. He got started in network marketing when he was 66. He failed twice. He went bankrupt 3 times. And at 72, he was with a company and he was quite successful. Think about that. He's 66 years old and had 6 years, was bankrupt a couple of times. And things are a little tough. He said he had rented a Mercedes and he had to park it up the street because if his wife found out, she would kill him. Anyway, it didn't matter. He went bankrupt and they took the car back. But at 72, he was with one company who was making about $15,000 a month. That in residual override income. That to me is like making $100,000 a month with a job, the JOB. And anyways, he left that company at 72 to start a new network marketing company. He lost all that. That's a new one. He ended up being the number 3 money earner. He made something like $70 or $80 million in the course of about 15 years. And 91 years old, and he was on a Zoom call, and he was a guy fixing the tech problems before COVID and anything else. Zoom was not a normal platform. And I said to him, Jimmy, 91, you're amazing. And he said, I'm just getting started. And I thought, there you go. There's one. I'm just getting started every day in everything. So yeah, I think that's one of the little things. Every day I wake up and I say, I'm grateful for the breath in my lungs. I've got 2 feet and a heartbeat. It's going to be a great day. You've got to come out of the gates with something and with the understanding. And I love this too. Often when things are tough, I will say, oh, this too shall pass. We hear that all the time. We give it as advice, get reminded, this too shall pass. We forget to remind ourselves that when things are really amazing, don't worry, this too shall pass. So I don't know when that just came to mind for me. I put it on my heart. this too shall pass. Life is a big, long journey. Careers are journeys. Relationships are journeys. And when we think about that, being on top of the mountain is part of the vision. Left foot, right foot, going up the mountain, maybe coming back down. The ascent to Everest was never done on the first attempt. But pretty much anybody, there was always up, down. There was an action, which is one of the key pieces of anything that we want to be successful at. And then there's really experience, hope, strength, wisdom, and there are a few little things that have helped me along. I think that is a willingness to learn and grow is important. I think getting inside of communities, people going in the same direction you're going. I think energy is such an important thing. Where do we spend our time and energy? Who do we give it away to? I'm a big believer in giver's gain. I really do believe that energetically, it's principle. And there are principles and universal laws. And when we subscribe to those, it becomes a little bit easier to get to where we're going because we realize you can't argue against gravity. It's real. We cannot argue against the principles, the precepts, and the predictions that we can find in certain resources, whether it be the Bible, whether it be the work of a company that we've done some personal development with, or through the wisdom of other people that have gone before us.
Yeah, and I love that you bring up the concept of giver's gain. And I think in entrepreneurship, I want you to share on this because entrepreneurship is a journey. Being a business owner is a journey in itself. And you talked about the highs and lows. And I believe in the principles too of giver's gain. And so how do people stand on their rocks or stand in their feet with their principles during the challenging times, right? Because giver's gain is easier to do when you are flourishing, when you're in growth, when you're thriving, when you're feeling great about yourself, right? To go out and be outward focused and to do these things and to live that principle. So when people are in challenging times, which often than not as an entrepreneur, it is a roller coaster, right? So, and I think it's more important to be operating from those principles right in the lows. Yet, once again, it's not always easy to going back to your example of easy and simple. So what guidance would you give someone when they're in the challenging times to operate from their principles and values? Like, how do you even do that?
I'm going to use two bookends for the question, right, about giver's gain. The principle is effectively this in simplicity. The more they give, the more I get. And that comes from an abundant mindset, heart set, beliefs that anything set, abundance being that there's enough, right? There's enough. I say to my nephews anytime that the principle of sharing is based on there's always more, right? So if I get two candies and I give one to my nephew and then his friends there, I get mine away. So what happened to you? And I said, don't worry, there's always more. And I do believe that, right? And if you've got that belief, when we operate from scarcity, it's pretty tough to be a giver. I don't know if there's going to be any. What if I don't get Murray? Or I need mine first. Then as soon as I get mine, Kelly, then I'm more than happy to give you some. Right. But I do believe that when I'm of service, I'm giving, right? So I'm volunteering my time here to do something. It's not for you. It's not for me. It's for anybody. So there's value in that, right? For me, for you. As soon as I got on the call, I was like, man, this is great. I was like, come eat a little briefcase with $1 million and I hang out with Kelly Bremer. So back to this is the two things. One, you got to put your oxygen mask on first. We've all heard it, right? When they stand in the airplane so you don't die, if something should happen, you put yours on first, right? And that principle is based on this. It's just simply, you can't help anybody, right? The plane's crashing or the oxygen's gone and you want to run around and help it. You can't do anything if you don't have your own oxygen mask on, right? The other side of it is, this one is probably, both are super important to me because my work ethic led me to a really tough period in my life where I was working 80 to 100 hours a week, man. Work ethic is not the issue, right? Not taking care of myself was the issue and very easily be a blind spot if I'm not aware that will pop up again and remind me that, hey, might want to pump your brakes or I'll pump them for you, says God to me. But the concept being that if I'm having a tough time, that sometimes just the simplicity of get out of my own way, which means it's my thinking, which are my feelings, which are my actions, whatever it is that's going on for me. And if it's not working for me in that moment, and I'm not saying avoid your emotions. I did that for a long time too, right? Hey, you want to be sad? You want to have a pity party? keep it short, keep it small, pity party for one, 30 seconds, it's over. And, but the one fail safe, no questions asked, it always 100% of the time works. And I don't use that word lightly, 100%. Even somebody asked me the other day, are you sure? I said, I'm 99% sure. I will say that just in case, because I didn't want to be all right about everything. 100% for sure. Anytime I'm having a tough day or a tough moment, is to get out of my own way and go be a service to somebody. Go help somebody. Go open the door for somebody. Go smile for somebody.
Yeah.
Go ask somebody, how can they help you? Or just, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be complex. So that I do believe, the second that I get out of my own way. And so self-care and helping other people is one of the best ways to stay in service, which then energizes me. I just had this feeling as I'm talking right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to sleep tonight. And I can't wait to get off this call and to do some more things to help more people. It's a momentum, right? An object in motion stays in motion. A mind in motion stays in motion. What we focus on grows, right?
Yeah.
And that's it, Kelly. And those two calls.
I love everything you're sharing. And I want you to expand on one thing, because as you're speaking about being of service and givers gain and taking care of ourselves, agree with all of it. And I also would love you to expand, and I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me when I say this, that a part of giving is also receiving, being able and willing to receive, because you talked about scarcity versus abundance. And I know that for the last 5 years, I was in a space where I felt like I was giving and being of service, yet I wasn't great at receiving. I'm still not the best at it. And this is the piece of my life that I'm working on, so that giver's gain part can come back to me from an authentic space. Because I don't want people listening to think I'm just going to go be of service and be a martyr. That's not at all what we're saying. And there's going to be a space where you have the willingness to receive, which is actually a give. And so can you expand on your thoughts on that with the, because I think there's a lot of people out there who do operate from giver's gain, yet they're missing a big component, which is allowing themselves to receive.
Yeah. There's a matrix you and I both know about, separates people in four different categories. No one is 100% one. But I think something like 74% of the world are what we call quote unquote supporters, right?
Right.
And those people are predisposed to give. And that's what they normally do. They give, give, give. And they are those quote unquote, sometimes martyrs. They'll give until they die, because that's their nature. Yeah. The concept for me specifically about giver's gain, and then sliding the little toggle over to being able to receive, right? So let's call it receiver's gain. What came up for me when you're talking about it was the ability to check in on this one thing and be able to measure how willing am I to receive, right? And that would be that if I gave you a compliment, Kelly, how do you just say thank you and accept it? That's a really simple way to check in. Like somebody was on this call, they could say on a scale of 1 to 10, how apt am I to receive a compliment? I think a number 10 reception would be thank you. That's it. No other words. Yeah. Receive that compliment. Often for me, I always wanted to give more than, no matter what, Kelly, you could show up and you could give me a beautiful gift. You say you showed up with a brand new Toyota 4Runner. I'm like, I'm going to show up with a Bugatti SUV. I always said to be more than, but in that, I say that maybe those are terrible examples. Actually, they probably are, but yeah, I think receiving allows us to be re-energized, right? So when I can receive God's love, I get re-energized, right? When I can receive a compliment from you, I come off this feeling more energized. So I think it is fundamental. It leads to this is the principle you and I know well of win-win, right? So I'm giving all the time, it's lose-win. Eventually, right away, it might look like win-win in the instance, but eventually leads to lose-win. And again, I wish it was 100% all the time. It was win-win in my life. What I know is I have an awareness of when it's not. Sometimes I don't have an awareness until I do. But win-win is where there's giving and receiving. That means that I can give and I can receive. And as long as with the other person, like with you and me, I can pretty much be rest assured anything I do with you, because you and I subscribe to the principle of win-win. And I know that based on the work we've done, who we are, my runway, my relationship with you, I don't have to ask you, hey, Kelly, do you know what win-win is? I know. Yeah. And when we know that we know we're sitting across from somebody that plays win-win. And I often say that in what I do with anybody and anything, if it's not win-win, I'm not doing it. Do I execute, integrate and execute that every day perfectly? Absolutely not. However, I just continue to attempt to grow in the space of higher levels of awareness And then, as I was saying, I'm 100% responsible. Right? I am personally 100% responsible. I subscribe to that. How do you know? Because the word starts with I. And that's, yeah. And so I'm responsible for receiving. I'm responsible for giving. I'm responsible for creating win-win. I love a guy that we worked with, Cortland Warren. He described relationships because I think it's a great place to test win-win, a great place to test our willingness to grow. And he described amazing relationships as this. They require, point one, mutual admiration. I think that you and I have mutual admiration for each other. They require trust and communication. Edge. Find those however you want. You got to give trust to get trust. You got to communicate to receive communication, right? It's communication is always a great yeah. work on. And then ultimately, how well do you navigate challenge? I don't remember a lot of challenges with you in my life. However, I know that maybe we didn't have them because we used to keep subscribing to giver's gain, to win-win, right? And we keep working on ourselves. And as I say, the past is perfect and everybody does the best they can. Sometimes people do the best they can for a long time. And I love this part of that point too. Everybody does the best they can given the resources they believe they have. Well, I didn't know that God was available to me until really 7 years ago, especially when I got baptized. But yeah, and we're 100% responsible for the outcome. And that means that inside the course of navigating that point three of the relationship key called challenges, unless I'm willing to look at my part in something, it's always going to repeat itself. When there's a challenge, the only way to come out stronger, better, and ahead, closer to a full win-win, for me to take 100% responsibility for how I showed up, what I did not do, said, did not say, and learn from it. Dr. Carol Dweck wrote a book called The Growth Mindset, Two Simple Ways to Look at Anything, What Was Effective, What Would Be More Effective.
Man, Scotty, I could talk to you all day long. Everything you're sharing, I'm just loving so much. And I know what you just referenced there was the game of three rules. Shout out to Casey Council, another mutual friend of ours. And applying all of these principles, I can tell that you don't just know them, you apply them. And that's also something really important to look at in life and business. To know one thing is to know, yet to apply is to do and to create and master. And so I'm just loving all of these principles in my mind that you're sharing. And what I just with the little bit of time we have left, I just have a few more questions. Like I said, I could pick your brain all day long. We might have to have a Scotty Kearns part of
nail. I was just staring at your nails, man. Gosh.
Well, now, it's not fancy. I'm doing my best to be more girly and feminine.
Oh, I like that.
The last few questions, and I'm serious, we might have to have a part two down the road. Yeah, last few questions. What, so you've gone through these different chapters, you've had a lot of learnings about yourself. What would you say now is your definition of success?
Through the course of this, I have not been referencing some notes. I knew that this could be a really good opportunity to give a gift away. So I love to talk and share and integrate energies and everything like that. So first part of this call was 100% based on energy flow. There was no roadmap for you and I. I think we just trusted in the process. Actually, I know we trusted in the process. Definition of success. I believe for me, the willingness to keep going and never give up, right? That's successful. So as an entrepreneur, as a husband, as a wife, no matter where you are in your life, if you are willing to keep going and to learn and grow and never give up, you are successful, period. That's number one. Number two, I believe whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, or year, or in the course of your life, I believe that success can be counted and measured by the number of lives that you or I have permanently, profoundly, and positively affected.
Love that.
That's success. Okay, I'll repeat that. The number of lives, your success will be counted and measured by the number of lives that you permanently, profoundly, and permanently impacted, right? We talked about that personal development course. Eventually, I think I got to around 200 people who went to that course, at least one, and I will say many more, including myself. I would say it saved my life.
Yeah.
I know it profoundly and permanently impacted somebody else's life. So I think that's a great way to measure success. Number three, currency. For me, relationships. Number one currency in my life based on result. I will never change that. You know, some people say I'm not about the money. It's not about what I'm not about. What I am about is relationships. And I believe in the relationships and the amount of love that we bring to those relationships. That's a great measure of success. talked about my dad being an incredible guy. I wasn't always an incredible son. But today, the love that I can bring to that relationship, the peace, the joy, and everything that is where it is today is really based on me being willing to give a little more, receive a little more, receive maybe some of the wisdom I didn't always take from him. But yeah, the success, that's really all that matters to me. My parents are 82. My dad turns 83 in a couple of weeks. And I feel like I'm more successful than I've ever been. I've had way more money in my bank account. I've had way more things. I've had way more lots of everything. Man, oh man, my relationship with my mom and dad at this point in my life is the most important thing outside of my relationship with God. God, my mom and dad, my other family, and then everybody around me, people like you. So success to me is simply measured by my ability to be a verbal, vital, and visible testimonial to what's possible. And when I say vital, it's the most important. I'm working on being a little less of this and a little more of the action, a little less telling people what I'm doing and where I'm going, a little bit more being vital, visible and vital, which is an important testimonial. Jeremiah 29:11 says, it basically references that God has plans for us all to prosper, anybody on this call, to give us hope and to give us a future. He gave me that. Now that's my job to give that away. And if I can give somebody a little bit of hope, I often refer to myself as a purveyor of hope, and to give somebody a future. If I can lead somebody like I was led to, where eventually I don't get to work on anybody's salvation, that's not my job. But if I can lead somebody to a better life, that is success. Yeah, that's it, Kelly. Those three things specific. Yeah,
that's amazing. No, everything you shared is so special. And I know that you're being it, doing it, living it, practicing it. And you talk about leading people to the next level of their life, which is another question I have is, what would you share with somebody who is, they're rocking and rolling, they have goals, they're wanting to better themselves, yet they're just stuck, right? Like they just cannot get to the next level, whether it be in life or business, whatever it might be. What is some advice you would give somebody on how to break through and level up and create advanced growth in their life?
Yeah, number one that came up for me is you got to have a vision, right? And put that where there's no vision, people perish. You got to be dreaming. I lived probably one of my first dreams. I owned 3 restaurants in the U.S. I moved to the country that I wanted to move to. Thank gosh, I moved back to Canada. I was a wannabe American growing up. I love all countries. I don't have an affinity for one or the other. I love where I'm at. The vision is super important. So I lived that dream and I decided I didn't want to live that life anymore. But yeah, you got to have a dream. You got to have a vision. Step one. So if somebody's struggling and they're stuck, then get back to that. I started rebuilding a vision board. I remember the first time somebody said to me, oh, you should do a vision board. I was like, I'm not doing that. And I did. And I laughed at it. And I'll tell you, I did a vision board and I had a picture of this blonde girl in front of a Jeep and I wanted to get married for the first time. And I'm telling you, a year later, I met a girl who was blonde with a Jeep and I didn't cherry pick. And that was the first girl that I got engaged to. That it didn't work out, thank gosh. And grateful for that experience. You got to have a vision. You got to have an ability to say, I got a dream. And whatever that is. Number two, ABC 123, one of my favorite guys in network marketing taught me this. He said, and you can apply this to anything. Apply it to your health, apply it to your spiritual life, apply it to your marriage, apply it to your business. You can apply it anywhere in your life. ABC 123. And it comes with the back finishing piece, but it's your attitude, belief, and your commitment. Okay. You got to check in with your attitude every day. It's the one thing that we control. Charles Swindell wrote a poem and talks about your attitude. It's the one thing that we can control. 90% of what happens to us in our life is our attitude and how we respond to that 10% that happens to us, right? Life happens to us. No, it happens for us. And that's that abundant mindset. Your attitude, your belief, and your commitment, right? I'm committed means it's not just hope, want, need. I'm committed if Kelly shows up today. No, I was committed to make an impact in somebody's life. That is the ABC. The 1, 2, 3 in my old business was basically, if you wanted to lose 10 pounds, it was like, make a shake. We were like, make a shake, drink the shake, right? That was number one. He was go to the gym. Number three was rinse and repeat. You can put the 1, 2, 3 in any way you want, right? For me, in any business, right? You want to be successful? Talk to people, talk to more people, and then help more people. Those are the 1, 2, 3s. If I just kept that going in my attitude, belief, and commitment, and I remember in my old business, it was your attitude, your belief, and your commitment. The 1, 2, 3 was use the products, talk to people, follow the system. So at any given point, I could check in. How many people did I talk with? Then am I using the products at the highest level? And am I following a system? There's always a system to everything. Have one, find somebody that already has that. And then this was always, I'll never forget his voice. And he said, every day, every day, every day. And it was that, that's it. Life is an everyday thing, right? We only get this once, right? That's it. Every day, every day, every day. Yeah. And the third thing I will share is, and I referenced it in the beginning with vision, but you got to keep dreaming. You got to keep dreaming. You got to put the rearview mirror like tilted down. The windshield is this big on purpose. And I remember the day I was when I heard this, right? You got to be looking forward, right? And when I asked my dad on his 80th birthday, I said, Dad, what's the one thing you would share with me today? And I've heard a lot of stuff, and he was pretty legendary in a lot of ways, but he said that something I never heard before. And he said, don't look back. Somebody might be gay. Satchel Paige. And I asked him, I said, where the heck did that come from? I interviewed him on the camera. I heard a lot of things a lot of times. If you had wheels, would be a streetcar. I could go on and on about the way. I know I'd never heard that before. Don't look back. Somebody might be gaining on you. And I love it because I said, who is Satchel Paige? And I'm a sports guy, but he was a black guy in pro baseball that didn't make it until he was about 42 years of age. That was tough times without race and sports in the world and anything. And this guy never gave up. And so I love that. Keep dreaming. Don't look back. Never give up. And keep dreaming. Those would be three things that I would say are pretty solid pieces.
Oh, awesome, Scotty. Oh my gosh, you have so much to share. So I have a question. Where can people find you? I know there's going to be people listening to this episode and they're like, I got to know more about this Scotty guy, right? He's just so interesting. You got awesome energy. You love to help people. Where can people go and learn more about you and find you and know about your services? You're in real estate and TO, just everything, right? Where can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, first of all, in a book, a guy left his cell phone number in a book. And so I'll give you my cell phone number, 647-459-3184, 647-459-3184. You can call me or text me anytime you want. If I'm awake, I'll reply. And I got that. There's a guy that wrote a really great book and a guy that I follow. And he left his book and his cell phone number in the book. And he says he receives calls every day. And he put it out there to the entire world. ScottCares.com has a little bit of background on my real estate stuff. If anybody ever wanted to learn more, they could always go there. And Instagram, ScottyK1111, that'll do that. And yeah, and they can always call you, Kelly. You're a great resource. You can always point in the right direction.
You can call me too.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it. Okay, so two last questions. One, I want to know what's next for you. And then two, if there was one more thing you would give someone once they hop off this call that they can go and do, right? That's in alignment with your message. What advice would you give them to go and take and put into action?
I think I'm going to bypass the what's next for me because it's really about other people right now. I'd rather spend a couple extra seconds on actionable items. You said a license action program, right? And we get feedback based on the level of action or inaction that we take. Number one, get with God on all things. That would be number one. Best thing I could tell you to do to get off this call immediately. And I'm going to assume that you have and assume. I am going to assume you've got goals. If you're on a call like this, if you don't, Kelly Beveridge is one of the best coaches in the world to help people achieve at higher levels. And it's gone. You want to get your goals. And I would say if you need one or two or three, a very specific goal, just take one. One goal means the world to you in your life right now. Something that could be lose 10 pounds. I hit my goal of 165 and 10%. Be anything. One goal and a dream that you have and go and share them with three people in your life. One goal and a dream. That's the second thing. And go share them with three people in your life who mean something to you. And share them and ask them for, you can ask them for accountability, whatever you figure that out to be for yourself. But most importantly, go to them and say, I would like to ask for your support and be able to define what support looks like. For me, one of my love languages is words of affirmation, which looks like encouragement. So if I was going to take that as an actionable step, I would call Kelly. I would share, this is my next goal. I'm going to do this. This is what I want to achieve. I'm going to share my dream. Yeah, my dream. I'd love to buy a house in Canmore in the mountains and come back out there again. That is a true dream. And then I could ask Kelly for support. And that support would specifically look at, Kelly, let's have a check-in call once a month so that I can tell you where I'm at, define what's going on. And she would already know how to encourage and support me. Kelly, thank you so much. This call is, that's what was next. I've been thinking about this and so excited that I got invited. And thanks for reigniting a little bit of my flame today and in my life to remind me that that's what it's really all about. Kelly, you are a superstar, and I will continue to follow you where you go, a great leader. And yeah, anybody who listens to this podcast, if you haven't gotten with Kelly Beveridge, I highly suggest you get with her. The growth even I see from her and her conviction and her confidence today. And yeah, she's made some big choices lately in her life. And I love you, Kelly.
Oh my gosh, Scotty, thank you so much. Appreciate you for being here. And I'm glad you got to do what you love, which is be of service, which is why I created this podcast, so that we can share inspiring messages that people can take and apply to their life as they seem fit, and really do our best to leave everybody better than we found them. And so, Scotty Kearns, I appreciate you. Love you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time, and excited to watch your journey unfold as well. So just appreciate you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thanks, Kelly. It's all about progress, not perfection. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed that episode with my friend Scott. He just comes with so much knowledge and life experience, and he's obviously in a space of self-discovery and continues to invest in himself and learn and grow, and just so much wisdom that he was able to share with us. I hope all of you as listeners got value from that episode today. I know I sure did. And I just wanted to share, if you're tuning in from a certain podcast, whether it be Spotify or Apple or Google, and you're listening to this on audio, awesome, thank you. I also wanted to share, I do have a YouTube channel, just in case you were not aware about that. It's called Entrepreneurial Elevation. And so you can go and look me up on YouTube and you can watch all of these episodes. I'm also going to be transferring a lot of my content from Instagram and my other social media to YouTube, and really starting to focus on my YouTube channel. So I encourage you to chime in, subscribe, be a subscriber of mine. I would really appreciate that. Yeah, and just once again, thanks so much for listening. With love, greatness, and success, it's Kelly Beveridge. Have a great day.